Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time to encounter your holy scriptures and your holy gospel. Lord, please send your spirit to us. Stand among us. Help us and shape us to be witnesses for you and your resurrection. Dear Lord, we thank you for this time of silence in the midst of our sometimes busy and loud weeks. And Lord, we thank you for this moment. Speak to us, and let these words indeed not be mine, but yours. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Well, a witness is someone who, in either word or deed, tells what they have seen. In Luke 24, 48, it says, "You are all witnesses of these things." That's what Jesus says to his disciples. And, you know, some of us may not feel like we're even worthy to be, you know, receive that title, to be a witness. But Jesus always sees more in us, just like he did his disciples. He always sees more in us than we do ourselves. You know, the disciples probably didn't feel like witnesses either, because Jesus had already visited them a few times. And in 24:37, it still said that they were startled, frightened, troubled, and doubtful. And yet, to this beleaguered, huddled group, Jesus chooses to stand among them. You know, somehow these scared disciples move from being those like they are in the first of today's gospel, scared, kind of in hiding, worried about what comes next, to giving their lives for the faith around the world. Not huddled down into some little, you know, little spot behind locked doors, but unlocked and out into the world to share about Jesus and his resurrection. What gives? You know, how do they go from that to that? What is the ways in which that transformation takes place? I think it all comes down to Jesus' visitation, to his coming and standing among them. And it takes a few times. It's not just once. It's a few times, his coming among them, standing among them, and then naming them as witnesses, giving them this great call to be someone who tells in word or deed what Jesus has done for them out in the world, unlocked doors. You know, this passage today comes from the Gospel of Luke. And I was thinking about Luke. You know, we don't know a ton about him. We think maybe he was a physician, that we know that he traveled with Paul on some of his missionary journeys from Troas to Philippi. But beyond that, we don't know much about him. And he's intentionally kind of quiet about himself. You know, in the gospel, he's in the few opening lines there about who he's writing to, and then that's it. And that's all that we hear. And yet, what a witness Luke has given us through the writing of the only two-volume gospel set that we have, because Acts was actually a part of Luke's. It was part of the Gospel of Luke. And so Luke, Acts is one book. They just split it up for our scriptures. But originally it was written as one, going all the way from the birth of Jesus and then his death and resurrection and then on into the early church and the ministries of Peter and Paul and other disciples. And you know what? Luke, and that's all we know of Luke. It's just those couple things I mentioned. And yet, what a witness he has given to all the world through his gospel. I was running around the streets of Nashville, Indiana. I am a cross-country coach, or have been, and And my team went to the Brown County Invitational for cross country in September of 2014. And the reason I was running around the streets of Nashville is we always take the team into the town, we have lunch, and then the kids get a chance to go around to some of the shops and buy something before we head back on the bus. And so I had already had lunch, so I was doing that time. I was going around to some of the shops, and I had a mission that day. And the mission was, I wanted to buy some anointing oil. And the reason I wanted to do that was because the next day, Sunday, we were going to have an anointing service, healing service here at the church. I don't know if you guys remember that. We did that in 2014, and 10 years ago. And one of the reasons that we did that, one of the reasons that I wanted to have that service was because Sarah and I had just been through, in the previous year, two miscarriages and lost two little babies. And James says that, you know, when you get together, have the elders of the church lay hands upon those who are sick and pray for them and anoint them. And so that's what we did. And we had that service that day in September of 2014. And some weeks later, we discovered that we were pregnant with little Finn, who you saw here today in the service. That was the one with the tweezers. And when the doctor started to figure out the weeks, because you need to figure that out so you know possibly when the baby's going to be born, started to figure out the weeks, the doctor told us that it was the exact week that we had had the anointing and healing service here at St. Mark's. And so our fears and our uncertainty and our mourning was turned into dancing. And Jesus had visited not just us, but all of us here who were worshiping that day. He had come and stood among us here in this body of believers. And he made us witnesses of the author of life and the crucified and risen Lord who stands among us. There's a group of biblical scholars, they're called the Jesus Seminar. And I don't exactly understand everything about what they do, but essentially what they do is they have these different beads, and they make them different colors. And they get together and they look at the scriptures and they decide which scriptures they think are true. And they are more true than others. And they have them labeled as different colors. And they put those beads in different categories and things. Well, what they said about these passages, like the passage in today's gospel, was that the disciples really didn't see Jesus. They said that instead they just got together, and when they were eating the bread together, they remembered that, well, this is something Jesus did with us. And that when they were together, they kind of remembered that what Jesus was like coming among them, things like that. And the problem with that, besides the fact that I believe it's wrong and a misguided seminar, is that something quite a bit more than memories led these disciples from being scared, frightened, troubled, and trembling to going and giving their lives for the faith. Because we know, it's documented in history, that 11 out of 12 of these disciples ended up being martyred. And in many ways, the ways that they died were pretty awful. And you don't go and die for a lie, right? You don't go and give your life for a lie. And so these disciples witnessed the resurrected Lord who stood among them. And that is what freed them up to go out and to do these ministries and even to die for the faith. You know, oftentimes in martyrdoms, the person has the choice to kind of give up Jesus and live. And obviously, they chose their faith in him and Jesus over that way out. And you wouldn't do that if you hadn't seen the resurrected Lord like they did. Jesus stood among them, and he called them witnesses, and indeed they were. Jesus also said something else to them in 24:36. He said, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you." You know, I think it's the peace of God that allows us to be witnesses. Martyr, I believe it's a Greek word. Martyr means, as literally translated, witness. And so I found a quote from Tolstoy this week that I thought was really cool. He said that tyrants, when they reign, their reign ends when they die. And martyrs' reign begins when they die. And you could ask yourself, which one lasts longer? And here we are today talking about the witness of the disciples, many whom were martyred, and who stood and told through their words and their deeds about Jesus Christ and whom they saw, the resurrected Lord, who stood among them. And they found, this is the peace thing, they found their peace not in the securities of the locked doors that they were behind initially in the opening words of today's gospel. They found their peace not in the securities of locked doors or other comforts. Instead, they found their peace in Jesus Christ, who stood among them. You know, all this is possible because Jesus comes and stands and names us witnesses and equips us with the Holy Spirit, which comes after his resurrection, in order to empower us to do the things the disciples did, to tell about Jesus in word and deed, through the words of our mouth and the deeds of our actions that are compelled by the Spirit. You know, oftentimes when we feel called to witness, it's not planned. It's not scripted. We don't get to plan it ahead of time. It's one of those moments where we feel the Spirit leading us to do or say something, and we just have to surrender and obey because we don't know what's going to happen next, and we don't even know what we're going to say or do. And yet the Spirit gives us power to do whatever it is, say whatever it is, or do whatever it is that we're called to do. And that's how we're caught up in this great story that Jesus lives and stands to tell us. You know, in 24:48, it says, "You are all witnesses of these things." And he's talking to the disciples. He's also talking to us because we are his disciples too. You know, Jesus knew more than anyone else alive. And he knew that what he was saying would be recorded and read for generations to come after this event happened with the disciples today. And so he knew this "you" could be interpreted in the plural sense, not just the disciples there, but disciples for all times that would hear this message. You are witnesses. Like Luke, many may never know us. As you know, people will continue to know Peter, James, and John, and other disciples. And they might know some of us too. We don't know what God will do. But as generations go on, we might be more like Luke. People may not know much about us. But the ripple effects of what the Holy Spirit, Jesus coming and standing among you, gives you to say and to do to others in your lives affect those who hear that or see that. And then they tell that story. And it builds and builds. And it's passed on in that way. You are witnesses of all these things. And so through Jesus and the peace that he gives, our lives can speak volumes. Amen.